Well, first of all, good evening, everybody. It's a real privilege to be able to share with you on this wonderful evening. Tim and I came down from London on the train over lunchtime, early afternoon. We've been sharing in Graham's congregation fellowship this afternoon, and a very quick tea, lovely tea, and then dashed out here this evening. And so it is a privilege to be with you. Before I share from the Word of God, just the tiniest little bit about myself. I was saying this afternoon, when I hear somebody for the first time, I like to know a little bit about them. And so just the tiniest little bit. I come originally from Leeds. Tim and I are Leeds United supporters. That's where I like to hear a bit of participation. And in 1983, we moved down as a family from Leeds to London. I was part of the leadership team of Victus Fellowship for a number of years. And then about 7 years ago, the Lord spoke to us to reposition ourselves and to form a ministry called Amen Ministries. And our passion is the supporting, equipping, mentoring of leaders. Apart from all of that, the key things are I'm married. I have two children, a son-in-law and a granddaughter. And as I was saying this afternoon, one wife. So that's good, isn't it? Apart from all of that, I was at a conference and we had to introduce ourselves. And at this particular conference, I introduced myself. And I ended up by saying, by the way, apart from all of that, I like Coca-Cola and crisps. And I came to lecture on the second day, and there on the lectern was a can of Coke and a packet of crisps. And I hadn't actually realized it paid to advertise. So I thanked whoever and said, by the way, I forgot to mention one other thing. I like Mercedes-Benz cars. Well, you never know, do you? You never know. I came to the lectern the next day, and there was a little box, all small box, all beautifully wrapped up. Said on the outside, I say, covet the greater gifts. And I wondered if this was the keys, you know. And I opened it up, and inside was a minute Rolls Royce, you know. And I laid hands on it and commanded it to grow every day. But I obviously don't move in the life and power that I would love to move in. The Lord's just put a word on my heart that I'd like to share with you this evening. And to follow me in that word, you need to turn to the book of Joshua and to chapter 1. So if you'll turn to the book of Joshua and chapter 1, I want to share with you for a little while about moving on with the Lord. Moving on with the Lord. And to do that, we're going to read from Joshua and chapter 1. It's a reasonably long chapter, but I'd like to read it all. And wonderful, we've got copies of the Bible available. Joshua chapter 1. We always say, bring the Bible along to have good reading material in case the preacher isn't quite up to how interesting the Bible is. Joshua 1 verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Moses commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. To the Reubenites, the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest and has given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them. Till the Lord has given your brethren rest as he gave you, they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan towards the sunrise. They answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command does not heed your words. In all that you command him, may he be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. The word that the Lord has put on my heart tonight is to do with the issue of moving on with the Lord. Moving on with the Lord. It's not so much that I'm going to give an exposition because these verses are really full, but just to share something of the burden that the Lord has placed on my heart for us to gather this evening. I love the story of a young lad who went away to a private school. And at the beginning of the time there, they used to do the usual, the weigh them, measure them, all of those kind of things. And at the end of the first term, they did the same, and they would send a report home to the parents. And there was something unusual occurred with this young man, because when he was measured at the beginning of the time, he was something like 5 foot 3.5 inches. But at the end of the first term, a little bit to their consternation, when they measured him, he was 5 foot 2.5 inches, and somewhere along the line lost an inch. And you know that the teachers always have to put a remark at the end. And the headmaster looked at all of this, read the reports, and had a flash of inspiration. And underneath was written this, settling down nicely, which kind of captures it, doesn't it? I hope you are not settling down nicely. For there are key moments in our lives, in the life of the church, personally, key moments through Scripture where the Lord is calling us on. And here in this chapter, we see how the Lord is calling both Joshua and the people onwards at a key moment of their lives. And I believe that the Lord is encouraging you personally and corporately to be a people who are not comfortable at settling down nicely, but are comfortable to not miss the Lord and want to keep on moving on with him. I don't know about you, but I have my comfort zones, and it's easy to settle into our comfort zones. It's easy to settle into the familiar. It's easy to settle into the past, but the Lord comes to us tonight, and he's calling us on. Now, in this business of moving on with the Lord, there are two foundational issues that Joshua chapter 1 deals with. And very conveniently for the preacher, the first chapter develops really kind of nicely, because the first nine verses are about revelation, and it's about the Lord speaking to Joshua. So verses 1 to 9, it's all about what we call revelation, the Lord speaking to Joshua. Verses 10 to 18, the next nine verses, are all about relationship, as the Lord, Joshua speaks to the people, the leaders of the people, speak to the people, and then some of the people speak back to the leaders, and it's all about their relationship together. So there are two key issues as we think about the whole realm of moving on with God. One fundamental realm of moving on with God is revelation, listening to what he has to say to us. And another fundamental part of moving on with God is relationship. It's how we relate to each other. So if you like, the first part of the story is relating to God. The second part of the story is relating to each other. So keys to moving on with the Lord are hearing him and how we relate to him, and how we relate to each other and hearing the Lord in each other. And it's just a little bit of that two elements that I would like to pick up with you. Is that all right? Good. Well, you seem remarkably excited. I am one of those really mischievous, cheeky speakers, you know. So if I kind of tease you along the way, please don't be offended. It means I like you. So is that all right? But look at those two areas. Okay, first of all then, a little bit about Revelation. As I say, I can't go into all of the details of the story. But if we're going to move on with the Lord, there are two things that we've got to do. First of all, we've got to recognize what we need to leave behind. And secondly, we've got to overcome fear. And what I love about the Lord is this, that when the Lord speaks, because this story begins with God speaking, one of the things he does is this, he helps us to face reality. And recognize, in this case, what is dead. So when we come to places of transition or places of movement, very often what the Lord has got to do with us, fresh each time, is recognize what is past, if you like, what is dead, and help us to overcome fear as he calls us to step out into a new place in the future. And so each time we come to those places, those are two things that we've got to deal with. It's we have to recognize what is dead, what we've got to leave behind, if you like, and we've got to overcome fear as we embrace God's new future. But it isn't that I want to talk to you about tonight, but that's in the story, so I better mention it. You see, one of the lovely things about the Lord when he speaks is he helps us to face reality. And the reality was that Joshua was living in a little bit of an if-only world. You know, at this time, oh, if only Moses wasn't dead. Or if only Moses was still here. Oh, if only I'd watched a little bit more closely and felt a little bit prepared, better prepared to take over from him. And you know something? Very often, God has got to break into our if only world. If only this, if only that, if only I was more spiritual, you know. If only I had a better memory. If only I could pray better. If only I knew the Bible a little bit better. And all of those things that you can put your if only into. And the Lord steps into that and says, Moses is dead and he has to face reality. And the Lord helps us to face reality. But that is not the burden. The burden that I've got tonight about Revelation is just twofold. The first is this, that you remember how the Lord had spoken to Joshua through Moses and been appointed leader. But somehow or other, that wasn't enough for Joshua. And now he hears it fresh from the Lord himself. And the first thing that I want to say to you, if we're going to move on with the Lord, is this. It's wonderful when we hear God speak through other people, and that's part of how he does speak, but it's vital that we learn to hear from the Lord for ourselves. Now, my style of preaching is this. Now and again, I will pause and look at you, and it's because I think I've made a really good statement, and it's time for you to engage with me by saying amen. So shall we try that all again? You know, it is vital that not only do we hear God speak through other people and recognize it, but we all need to hear from the Lord for ourselves. Amen. Wonderful. We'll get there together by the end. And what I want you to understand is this, because Tim will tell you, it's one of his phrases as well, that as we travel around, one of the things that we've got to recognize is that very often when people hear a word like that, they say, that's great, I wish I was better at hearing God. And we put our confidence in the wrong place. We put our confidence in our inability to hear well. Let me tell you where we need to put our confidence, in God's ability to communicate well. Oh, you were saying amen there without me. That's really good. So let me say that for you again. You see, where most of us put our confidence is our inability to hear well. Where we need to put our confidence is God's ability to communicate well. And God knows how to communicate better than we know how to tune him out or anything else. You look through the Bible and God is absolutely wonderful at getting the attention of his people when he needs to get it. And so what we do is this, we come before the Lord, and in those times when we know it's vital that we need to hear from him, this is what we do. Father, I thank you that you know how to communicate to me better than I know how to listen. You know how to get through to me. And I could tell you countless stories from the Bible when what the Lord does is wonderful. He persists with his people till he gets through to them. Story of Samuel. You know, 3 times, 4 times, the Lord will persist with him, calling his name till he gets through to him. The Lord knows how to persist with us till he gets through to us. Our confidence has not got to be in ourselves and our inability, but our confidence has got to be in the Lord and his capability, and he really knows how to get through to us. On one occasion, just before Christmas, a friend rang me and said, Ken, I was praying for you. And when I was praying for you, I kind of had this this vision, and I just wanted to share it with you. And I said, took note of it and said, thank you. Then in February, we were doing a conference together in Budapest. And he's a worship leader, and we were sat next to each other at the front. And it was just about time for me to be introduced to speak. And he nudged me and he said, hey, Ken, you remember that vision I had for you at Christmas? And I said, yes, I do. He said, I can see it again. I think the Lord really meant it. So I said, thank you. You know, made a note in my heart. Well, I got up and preached and ministered and all of that. And when I finished, one of my friends came up who's a Dutchman. And he said, hey, Ken, when you were preaching, I had a strange experience. He said, I saw you, but I kept seeing this. And he mentioned the same thing. So I said, thank you. I went home to London and took a team to Seattle in America to a vineyard fellowship and did a series of meetings. And at the end of it, the pastor has 2 sons, and the youngest is called Sam, and he was 9 years of age at the time. And he came up to me and he said, hey, Ken, he said, when you were speaking tonight, said, it was really strange because I kept looking, but I didn't see you. I kept seeing this. And he said the same thing. So I really encouraged him. I said, thank you very much. It's what the Lord is saying. And, 3 other people have said the same thing to me. I came home and I was in a church in Bristol with my wife, speaking local church in the morning, celebration at night. And as we were entering into the celebration place at night, this lady came up to us and said, excuse me, but you spoke in my church this morning. And she said, I had a strange experience. When you were speaking, I kept looking at you, but I didn't see you. I kept seeing this. Same thing, 5 times. By now, even I was beginning to believe it might be the Lord that's saying this. Do you understand? Because some of us take some persuading. You think I'm being daft. You look at the disciples and see how long it took them to get some things. Some of us, it takes us too long to get things. But hallelujah, our Lord is lovingly persevering and faithful to communicate till he gets through to us. We need to put our confidence in him. But what is it that is at the heart of what the Lord, and this is my first bit of burden, what is it at the heart of what the Lord is saying to Joshua? He's saying this. He's simply saying that, Joshua, as you rise up to fulfill my word and call upon your life, I will guarantee this, I will be with you. And that's just where I want to dwell for a moment, and it's this. Any time the Lord calls us on, this is what you can guarantee. Every time we step out in obedience, there's a guarantee from heaven that the Lord is with us. And notice how The principal pressure of these verses is this. The principal pressure of the verses is the Lord saying, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I'll never fail you. I'll never forsake you. Wherever you go, I will be with you. That's the pressure of the verses. And to all those of you who are on that brink of stepping out in a fresh step of obedience, of whatever level and kind it might be, however seemingly small, however seemingly big, what I want to assure you of in terms of what the Lord is saying to Joshua is the word that resounds right through the scriptures. It's the Lord saying, I will be with you. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm often in various circumstances, situations where I think, well, it'd be really great if so-and-so could be with us. I want you to understand something. Even greater than wonderful so-and-so, it's our magnificent Lord Jesus is with us. A number of years ago, when I was at school, I used to play rugby. And I was never big and beefy enough to be a forward. Nor was I fast enough to be a back. But I was kind of dim enough to be a half-back. And I used to play what in those days was number six or standoff half, or now is number 10. And what would happen would be this, that now and again you would get the ball and a gap would open up in front of you. And fear lending extra speed to your legs, you would run through this gap. And to your horror, would discover that their heavies were arrayed in front of you and just about to descend on you with their version of laying on of hands, which is nothing to do with the Bible's version of laying on of hands. In that circumstance and situation, some of the most wonderful words that you can ever hear on the rugby field are these. It's one of your guys, because what you've done, you've broken through and you've left your folk behind. And their folk are about to descend on you. And in that situation, one of the most wonderful things that you can ever hear on the rugby field is this. It's that one of your guys, unbeknown to you, has raced up alongside of you. And they shout, Ken, with you. And with great nonchalance, you take the ball from under your arm, you spin pass it away, they grab it, they get hammered, and you feel absolutely wonderful. I want you to hear something. As we step out in obedience, heaven wants us to hear this. Jesus speaking it. Graham, with you. David, with you. Jean, with you. Anne, with you. Isabel, with you. Tony, with you. Peter, with you. John, with you. You see, I want you to understand something and not make a mistake I made. In a period of my life, very keen and all of that, and by the way, as you get older, your passion should not get less, it should get greater. I love Jesus more now than I've ever done in my life. Maturity is not that which means that we feel less. We should love Jesus more. We know more about him, we should love him more. The more you discover of him, the more you should love him. But I was in this period where I was really keen, and I was in an 18-month period, I was fasting and praying. Now, you understand, I did not fast and pray for 18 months. You understand that. But over that period, I dipped in and out. And this was my cry, be with me, Lord, and I'll go. It was like, Lord, give me an experience of you, and look out, world, here I come. Give me that kind of definitive experience of you, whereby once I've had it, look out, world, here I come. Be with me, and I'll go. Eventually, I got to Matthew 28, and I read this. Go to all the world, preach the gospel, and I will be with you. You know, just hear this. The Lord meets his people at the place of obedience. Say that for you again. The Lord meets his people at the place of obedience. Now, this is your triple opportunity. This is real grace in action. The Lord meets his people at the place of obedience. You see, and sometimes we feel, be with me, Lord, and I'll go. Give me that experience. Give me that revelation. But he says, go and I'll be with you. And he meets his people at the place of obedience. You see, sometimes we're waiting for an experience and he's looking for obedience. Go, and I will be with you. What's the Lord saying to you? Not just as a church, not just what is he calling you forward into. Not just what is he asking you to leave behind of the past and move on. Not that we don't honor the past, we do. Moses was great. But he's calling us on, he's calling us on, he's calling us forward. Not just a church, but you individually. What's the Lord saying to you? What little touch in your heart is he giving to you? What little whisper in his heart is saying, I want you to step forward in obedience in this. I want you to step out in obedience in this. What's he saying? Because we would like, if we're not careful, we always want a little bit more assurance. A little bit more affirmation. A little bit more of an experience. But the Lord is calling us to step out in obedience. Be with me and I'll go. go and I'll be with you. And you know, I had a season whereby some of my greatest experiences of the presence of God were as I stepped out. And what I want you to understand is this, that my experience is that as you step out, it isn't that fear is removed, but it is that as you obey, the Lord helps you to step over it. And I've discovered this, that stepping out in faith requires stepping over fear. So for some people, it might be different, but I want you to notice, have you noticed here, four times, be strong and very courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Why is he saying to him, you know, don't be afraid, be strong and courageous and all the rest of it? He's saying that to him because he knew that the key element in Joshua's life was that Joshua, if he was going to go forward, would, to step out in faith, have to step over fear. And the Lord's speaking to us tonight and saying, have courage. Have courage. Have courage. Have courage. But okay, you know, how can we be strong? How can we have courage? These verses are very precious to me for all sorts of reasons, but a number of years ago, I was involved in youth work. And my mentor, who led me to Jesus and who mentored me, he had led the youth group from about 4 or 5 people up to 40. Which in our days was really good, local church youth group. And then I took it over, and I led it from 40 to about 10. And when you have been part of your friend and mentor and leader leading it from 4 or 5 to 40, and you're leading it, you've taken over, you're leading it from 40 to 10, all sorts of stuff goes on in your heart. And I remember, key time, away with the young people, and my mentor was there, and the last day, walking around with him, and saying, you know, the issues, and what to do, and said this, and this, and this, and everything he mentioned I'd tried, and it just confirmed what a failure it was, and I got in my car, and my wife had to go on the previous day, and to work, and I drove in the car 70 miles, crying all the way. Saying, Lord, I quit. Not Jesus, but leading the youth group. And I got her home, and Hazel was making a meal. And while she was making a meal, I kind of made my first mistake. If you quit, you know, there's some mistakes, if you want to keep quitting, that you shouldn't make. And I made the first classic one. I read my Bible. So I came to my chapter for the day, Joshua 1. 4 times it says, be strong. God 3 times and once the people say, be strong, very good courage. And I said, Lord, I'm finished. I can't. I've got nothing left. I've got no courage, got no strength. I thought I'd read it again just in case the Lord had changed his mind. I don't know if he ever do that. And he wanted to say anything else to me. So I read it again. He was still saying the same thing, be very strong, courageous. I was still saying the same thing to him. Lord, I can't. I've got nothing left. And I've blown it and I'm a failure and somebody else needs to take over because I'm not the one. And the fruit is obvious. I can't. I thought I'd give it one more try. I read it again for the 3rd time. And then I noticed what the Lord was saying to me. Where is to be the source of courage and strength? It's, I will be with you. We find the courage in him. It isn't internal screwing up courage, but it's the courage from his presence. It was a life-transforming moment. I was able to go back and we started to have the right kind of growth in the right way. God started to touch lives. He's speaking to us and saying, have courage. Have courage. Have courage. So the first little bit of the story is about revelation. And the Lord calling Joshua forward. And the Lord saying, I'll be with you. I need to leave that there because time has gone faster than I have. And so I need to go to the second bit. It's about relationship. Because we have to hear from the Lord. By the way, if you're in leadership, notice the order. The Lord spoke to Joshua, then Joshua spoke to the people. You know, that's the order. We've got to hear from heaven if we're going to give something to the people. But there's two elements of moving on with God. There's hearing from God for ourselves, but there's moving on with God together. And I just want to talk about moving on with God together, because in this story, there are so many principles about our corporate relationships. I'm just going to share three ever so quickly so that we finish on time this evening. The first is this: we need faith relationships. Faith relationships. Now, you remember, you know the story, how they have been in the wilderness for 40 years. And their great leader, Moses, has just died. And Joshua has been at this place before, because he was with Moses when 40 years previously, they'd been at this same place and they didn't get in. So he's been at this place 38, 40 years previously, they didn't get in. They've had 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. But the Lord speaks to Joshua and says, you're going to take these people in. And this is what Joshua says. Verse 11. Pass through the camp, command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God has given you. Listen to it. Just get it, capture it for a moment. He had been there 38 years before. They had wandered through the wilderness 38, 40 years. He'd been to this place before, 40 years of wandering under a great leader, and now the Lord says you're going to go in. And Joshua receives it in his spirit. 40 years of wandering, he says to the people, tell them, 3 days and we're in. That's faith. That's faith. Father, will you help us to have relationships which are faith relationships, whereby we are encouraging each other in the promises of God, in the character of God, in the goodness of God, in the kindness of God, and we are encouraging each other in that. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't need any help with my doubts. Do you need any help with your doubts? I don't need any help with my critical spirit. I do not need any help with my unbelief. I need help with faith. And I'm so grateful for my friends who encourage me to believe that I am who God has said that I am. And I can do what God has said I can do. I am so grateful for those kind of friends. And I want to say to you tonight, listen, you are who God says you are, and you can do what God says you can do. Here's Joshua. Oh, but I'm not like a Moses. Look, you know, he was a caliber all over. How can I follow him? I just aren't even worthy to, you know, stand in his shoes, let alone take his place and all of this kind of stuff. And we have a bad experience, and we want to make that the norm for our lives. And we go through all of that kind of stuff. I want to say something to you. You are who God says you are. You can do what God says you can do. Yeah, I need to circle and come back in again, don't I? You see, here's Joshua's struggle in the limelight of a Moses. Here's all of our struggles. We can listen to our history and it's got failure on it. We can look at somebody else and we don't feel that we can match up. We look inside and we see the bad things. We see our inadequacies and the rest of it, you know. And we need to hear this. As friends and in the fellowship and all the rest of it, what we've got to reinforce is not each other's doubts, it's not unbelief, it's not cynicism, it's not criticism and all of that kind of stuff. That's easy stuff. We've got to rise up to be men and women of God. We've got to rise up to be people of faith and have friendships of faith where we encourage each other. You are who God says you are. You can do what God says you can do. And let me say it to you. You are who God says you are. You can do what God says you can do. Never take your identity from your history. Do not take your identity from the devil. Don't take your identity from your sin. You take your identity from who God says you are. And your destiny from who God says you are. You can tell that I've got a terrible sense of humor, so I love children's jokes. I love the story of two snakes slithering through the jungle. One stops, so his mate stops. First one says to his mate, "Are we poisonous?" His mate says, "I don't know, why?" The first one says, "I've just bit my lip." And I love that kind of thing. Sometimes it's crucial, vital, that you know your identity. It's crucial that you know your identity. It grows on you. It does. It grows on you. It's crucial we know our identity. You are who God says you are. You can do what God says you can do. Notice it. 40 days of wandering through the world, 14 years wandering through the wilderness. Joshua feeling so inadequate in relationship to Moses, but he hears God, receives what God has got to say. Even in the face of 40 years of history, don't let your history determine your identity and destiny. Even in the light of the fact that as he compared himself to Moses, he just wasn't up to it. This is what God said: I'm going to take you in and stand before the people, just Joshua, and says, 3 days and we're in. I'm glad for friends who encourage me to faith. And that's what we've got to do with each other. We've got to do with each other and say to each other, you are who God says you are. You can do what God says you can do. And we speak the language of faith. Second issue. We need not only faith relationships, we need battle relationships. By which I mean this, I don't mean that we fight each other, but I mean that we fight for each other. You see, the 2.5 tribes, they'd already got an inheritance, but they'd promised Moses that they would fight with the other 9.5 to get them into the land. And the 2.5 that already had some inheritance, they were to fight with the 9.5 to get into the land. Do you know something? We need battle relationships. That is to say, we have got to start fighting for each other rather than fighting with each other. Rather than trying to insist on our place and our position and our opinion, oh God, deliver us from our opinions. And our rights and all of that, oh God, deliver us from all of that stuff and help us to be a people who fight for each other. And these 2.5 tribes says, yeah, we will come and we will fight till we get in. I'm so grateful for friends who fight for me. In the spirit that I will come into my full inheritance. Those who've taken it on themselves to pray once a week. Those who pray every day. A friend who led me to Jesus who prays for me every day. Another friend in another city who prays for me every day. My family. Other friends who pray once a week, committed times. 2 and I often say it, but we're here today not because of our own spirituality, but because we've got people who fight for us in the spirit. People who are fighting for us in prayer, praying for us into the fullness of our destiny. Do you know, it's easy to be critical, it's easy to have your opinion, it's easy to have that which is our rights and all of that kind of stuff. Oh Lord, deliver us from all of that and make us passionate about helping each other into the fullness of all that the heaven has for us. Become passionate about helping other people into the fullness of all that heaven has for them. That's what I mean by battle relationships. So there's faith relationships. I have to close in a minute. There is battle relationships. There's talks on all of these, if you know what I mean, but this is just a burden. And finally, there's what I want to call prophetic relationships. Because have you noticed that how the thing begins is God saying to Joshua 3 times, be strong and of a good courage. And what the 2.5 tribe leaders say back to Joshua at the end of the chapter is, only be strong and very courageous. They spoke back to Joshua what Joshua had been hearing from God. And we need prophetic relationships whereby we are hearing from the Lord for each other and encouraging each other in what the Lord is saying. Prophetic relationships. I could give lots of illustrations of that because it's one of my particular passions. But a while ago, I was speaking morning and evening in a church. And I don't kind of do that in an isolated way very often. Most of our life is to do with weekends and conferences and Bible colleges and all of those kind of things. So I don't kind of do a Sunday morning, Sunday evening in an isolated way often. It's normally part of a weekend. And so I prayed about this and felt the Lord give me a word for the morning, word for the evening. And so off I went to this church. And I was sat there in the worship time, and it was lovely worship time, and I was enjoying it and not enjoying it because the theme seemed to be the theme that the Lord had given me for the evening meeting. And so I was really dithering inside. It was getting nearer and nearer, and I was thinking, I wonder if I've got it the wrong way around, and I should preach the word I was going to give tonight, this morning. Little tap on my shoulder. Look around, a young man looking really nervous. He said, excuse me. He said, this hadn't happened to me before, but I think the Lord's got a word for you. So I said, okay. So he said, I think the Lord's, he said, I don't know what it means. He said, the Lord's saying, give the first one first. And I said, thank you. I know what it means. And I was able to give it in the Lord's order. Prophetic relationship speaking back to me what it is that the Lord had spoken to me. Very often when I meet with pastors, which I do a lot, it's part of my life and ministry and calling, and different ones ask to see me and the rest of it, and I will pray for them before I meet with them and say, Lord, is there anything that you want to say, you know? And I will just jot it down for them. I write it down so that it is clear I got it before the conversation. I was just reading with somebody recently, and I'd got a few things written down, you know, and we started to have a meal. I said, okay, what is it you want to talk about? And he mentioned, he said, well, a few things, but these two things first. And he mentioned them to me. And so I took my notes and I said, look, you know, here's the list. And the first two things he wanted to talk about, the first two things that the Lord had put on my list. And those kind of things would happen often, because what the Lord wants us to do is this, have prophetic relationships where we are speaking back to people what it is that the Lord is talking to them about. Because all of us need encouragement and confirmation that we're hearing from the Lord and moving together in the right direction. So we want to be a people, listen to it, faith relationships, battle relationships, and prophetic relationships. Faith relationships, 40 years wandering, 3 days and we're in. You are who God says you are, you can do what God says you can do. Battle relationships, not fighting with each other, laying down all that horrible stuff about asserting our opinions and our rights and criticizing and all of that terrible stuff that comes from the pit. Putting all that down and saying, no, we're going to fight for each other. We're going to pray and bless and encourage each other into the fullness of everything that heaven has got for us. And prophetic relationships where we're speaking back to people what the Lord has been speaking to them. And encouraging and affirming each other and supporting each other in hearing the voice of the Lord together. And hallelujah, you get to chapter 3, and it's the most momentous little bit of scripture up to that moment in time in terms of this promise that had begun with Abraham, gone through the ages, now they do step in to that promised land. And they take their place in a new place in the purpose of God. Let's pray together. Just as we pray, perhaps like a Joshua, you're facing something that seems overwhelming. It might be something domestic. It might be something at work. It might be something internal, just something inside of you that you've been wrestling with and fighting. And just at the moment, it seems just huge. And just for a moment, I just want us to pause there. And the way that the Lord got Joshua past that place that he was at was the assurance of his presence. And the issue tonight is not the size of the problem, but it's the size of God. And he's big enough. David was speaking about the greatness of God. He's big enough. He's great enough. Capable enough. And so I'm going to pray that the Lord will help you to tear your gaze off the issue, put it back on the Lord, and hear prophetically the Lord whispering over you, nay, shouting over you, with you, with you, with you, with you, with you. So, Father, I pray for your children, for those who are wrestling, Lord, with issues that seem too big for them to handle, whether it's domestic or work, whether it's internal, or it's to do with leadership. In the beautiful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, would you step in? Would you tear their gaze from the issue, put it back again on the magnificence of our Lord Jesus Christ? And may they hear the words of heaven over them. Jesus speaking to them, saying, with you, with you, with you. Not only that, but just that fresh revelation that whatever they're facing, Jesus is bigger, Jesus is greater, Jesus is wiser, Jesus is stronger. May that grip their inner reality, we pray in Jesus' beautiful name. May they lay hold of that divine presence and that divine revelation in the beautiful name of our Lord Jesus. And through that revelation of the superiority of Jesus, that he is stronger and all the rest of it, Father, would you break those inner strongholds and bondages that seem insurmountable for some of the folk here tonight? That they might come into a new inner liberty in the beautiful name of our magnificent Lord Jesus. Father, I want to pray for those who you've been whispering to them about little steps of obedience. And it needs courage. I pray for that impartation of heavenly courage that will help your people to step out in those steps of obedience in the beautiful name of our Lord Jesus. May they know that impartation of courage. Father, I thank you that you're calling this fellowship forward. I know only the tiniest little bit about this church. Father, you know hardly anything at all. But I know in the Spirit that you're calling it forward. You're calling it to come into a new level of its inheritance in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for its heritage and its history. We honor it. We thank you that without those foundations, without faithful people who have fasted and prayed, given the word, witnessed, sacrificed and gave, there wouldn't be this place, there wouldn't be this people. We honor the past. And we thank you that you're calling us on. And we thank you that the best way that we honor the past is coming to the fullness of everything that you have for us. And in the beautiful name of our Lord Jesus, Father, I ask that you'd keep on calling this congregation forward, onward, into the fullness of absolutely everything that you have for them. And I thank you for the fullness that's in your heart, Lord. I thank you for the magnificence of the vision that's in your heart for this people. And in the beautiful name of our Lord Jesus, may there be that divine wooing forward. And I pray that you'll touch everybody's hearts, that they will become a faith fellowship in the sense of that they are encouraging each other to believe in your promise, in your character, in your calling, in their divine identity in you. Lord, may every one of them take on the responsibility to help each other and encourage each other to be who you've called them to be and to do what you've called them to do. And I pray for these battle relationships, Lord. You'll help us to fight for each other, not with each other. Help us to die to the things that get in the way. And help us to rise up in the spirit of, I'm going to pray my brother and sister. I'm going to pray them into the fullness of everything that heaven has for them. And would you open the spiritual ears of your children here, and may they have prophetic relationships where they're speaking back to each other what you've been saying to them from heaven. And I thank you, Father, to individuals tonight you want to whisper with you. with you, with you, with you, with you. One or two are feeling terribly alone and isolated, made worse by everybody else seems to be friends or having good things happen to them, and you feel terribly alone. Hear it. Heaven whispers it over you. With you. Not alone. Not alone. With you. With you. Heaven is with you. Jesus is with you. You're not alone. And for the person who's got to go into a very difficult business meeting this week, and you're afraid of it and the consequences of it, again, the Lord Jesus whispers to you, with you. You do not go in alone. The future of that meeting is not in their hands, it's in His hands. Pray the peace of Jesus into your heart and the wisdom of Jesus upon your lips.